you. What a beautiful song that is, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful to sing it and to actually do it?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. That's beautiful. Hello, everybody. Good morning. It's good to be back. I've been gone for a few weeks, actually. Did you notice? And I've been on quite a journey. Can you all hear me? We're having some microphone issues today. I've been on quite a journey since you last saw me, and that included things like the Red Rocks of Moab, Utah. Anybody been there? Amazing. The mountain peaks of Colorado. You're up right up to the snow line there. The peace and tranquility of Unity Village. The joyous reunion with beloved colleagues. We all used to do youth ministry together. We were all youth consultants in the different regions. And we all just kind of converged. This was the ordination night when all the new ordinands were getting ordained. And we all just ended up together in this moment. And we said, we got to take a picture. And then there were a few classmates that were there, just four of us this time, as we celebrated 20 years of ministry. We had our 20th anniversary while we were there. So it was quite a trip. From there, I got across the border just in time for Canada Day. It's a great time to be in Canada, let me tell you. And I got to visit with family members in my hometown, and then visited with my daughter and her family, my son and his family, for a couple weeks. So it was grandson heaven, and the two little guys are my daughter's two, and then the little guy and the big guy are my son's two. My grandson Julian has just joined the Canadian military, and you can see he's towering over me at this point. And there were even some grand dogs in there. Many grand dogs. It felt like more than we needed, but that's okay. It was Christmas in July. That's what I thought of it as, which is my talk title this morning, as you've heard. So as you can see, it's been quite an adventure this last month. And you know something? I really enjoy traveling. I love traveling, but when it's so jam-packed like that, it makes my head spin just a little bit. And like the Christmas season, where it can be filled with this whirlwind of parties and food and special events, there's a frantic pace that can happen that can get in the way of actually experiencing the reason behind it all. Why was I doing all this traveling? Now, my favorite method of travel is a road trip. Any other road trip fans here? Yes, I like exploring the world at a little bit of a slower pace. So in the midst of all that frantic travel, I stopped. I took a breath, and I consciously made the decision to slow down, to settle into my body, to breathe, to be, to enjoy what was in front of me, to let go of the hurry and just be. So I gave myself a bit of an early Christmas present of just being present. In other words, I chose to actually get still and be wherever I was, you know, be here now. I practiced the art of staying in the Buddhist sense, which means that your head and your feet are in the same place. And it takes some practice. It's about staying awake to what is happening right now. And to do that, I had to become aware of what was actually getting in the way. What was going on inside of me that was stopping me from being present to it all? Any idea what it might have been? That's right, my head. Turns out the problem was that I was listening to this constant nattering going on in my head, you know? Letting that inner storyteller spin all kinds of yarns, take my attention away from the miracle that was happening right in front of me. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
I recently read an analogy of what that's like. Imagine walking into a big room and there is a party going on. And Your attention gets captured by a 24-inch TV screen in the corner of the room, and you spend hours watching it, and you become captivated by it, in fact, and you miss the whole party that's going on all around you. Now, to come back to that party, you don't have to destroy the TV. You don't even have to turn it off. You just need to stop, widen your attention, widen your focus to taking it all in. Do you see that? Stop focusing consciousness only on that 24-inch TV screen. And this analogy is referring to the filtering aspect of our minds. If you remember, it's estimated that there are around 400 billion bits of information available to us right now. But our mind is only capable of taking in, anybody remember how many? 2,000 bits. 400 billion, did I say million? It's 400 billion. 2,000. It's a tiny little sliver of what is actually going on in reality. So it's a matter of consciously stepping back and widening our awareness, and then seeing when we become seduced back into experiencing life through the 24-inch TV screen, the antics of the ego, is the way I think of it. 40 scientists from all different disciplines, including neuroscientists, physicists, sociologists, anthropologists, they all got together to come up with a working definition of what the mind is, one that they could all agree upon. And this is what they came up with. The mind is an emergent, self-organizing, embodied, and relational process that regulates the flow of energy and information. Did you know that that's going on inside your mind? Yes. And we have a name for that self-organizing, regulating filter. Do you know what we call it? Me, or I. That's what I call my I. The I, or the self-concept, or the limited identity, is what is blocking spirit from our awareness. And it often feels like a chaotic internal state, constantly spinning stories, yammering away as it narrates and interprets what ever is showing up in our world. You know, this is good, this is bad, I want more of this, no more of that. Here's one that showed up for me. I'm too busy to look at the June bug my grandson just found. I have a talk to write about being present. I actually caught myself doing that. And on it drones. And we can be so focused on what our mind is telling us, you could even say we become hypnotized by it. And because we are identifying with this limited self, we are not being the truth of who we are. We're not being the whole self. And because of that, we can feel this sense of divine discontent. Anybody know what I mean by that? Being unfulfilled, you know? Needy, in lack, lonely, whatever it is for us, anxious. However it shows up for us, that is the reason for it. Because we are trying to compensate for not being who we are by looking outside of ourselves, trying to find something that fills the gap. And you know, when we find something that maybe feels like it might be it, it can help us temporarily. It might just help with the blockage for that moment, you know, those shiny new shoes, or a new job, or vacation. All that can give us a lift, can't it? And we might get a brief moment of delight. But then, what happens? The shine wears off. The shoes get scuffed. The job has its drawbacks. The vacation included mosquitoes. The solution wasn't permanent. We're looking for something outside of ourselves to compensate for what we're not connecting to in here. And then we get just stuck in this vicious cycle, trying to find satisfaction, getting a shiny new something, and then, as it wears off, back to that same dissatisfaction, looking for some more. And this searching for something outside of ourselves in order to compensate for what we're not connecting to within ourselves, this is the entire foundational basis for consumerism. Isn't it? Here it is. Here's the carrot. Maybe that's the one. And the reason this will never give us what we're looking for is because we're looking outside of ourselves to find something that is within us. We can't see it because we're so busy looking for something we've never lost. Really? Do you know what I mean by that? It's like a fish swimming in looking for water. Where is this thing called water? It all comes from trying to compensate for missing our connection with Source. What we're looking for is we're hungry for our own radiance. Do you know that about yourself? Hungry for your own radiance. So the answer is to shift our attention within and become present, and that's not so easy to do with some of the lifestyles that we keep. As John Gardner puts it, we can keep ourselves so busy, fill our lives with so many diversions, stuff our heads with so much knowledge, involve ourselves with so many people, cover so much ground, that we never have time to probe the fearful, wonderful world within. And he says, by middle age, most of us are accomplished fugitives from ourselves. Can anyone relate to what it feels like to be a fugitive from yourself, trying to outrun, you know, whatever it is? Here's the thing, spiritual growth comes when we stop being a fugitive from ourselves, when we cease being a prisoner of the mind, when we instead focus on seeking freedom from that vicious cycle, shifting from getting or doing in order to feel better about ourselves, and move simply to being, taking responsibility for what we're putting out there in the world, and seeing that it's up to me to be the change that I'm trying to find. And partway through my trip, I started to clue into that, and I consciously started to do it. Now, I have to be honest with you and say that this kind of work wreaks havoc for the ego. See? And why? Because the focus changes from trying to make things better. The ego depends on this constant striving to improve. That's what gives it its life. And when that stops, when we stop doing that and instead focus on breaking the habit of being that egoic self and shift into the change, well, let's just say it isn't typically the kind of work we joyfully enter into. There can be resistance. However, when we go beyond the personal self, when we stop focusing on the 24-inch screen, we discover that what's left is the greater self. Do you see? That's the good news. What's accessible to us is deep inspiration and joy and compassion and creativity. We have as much divine love and divine wisdom at our disposal as that we are able to encompass and utilize. Do you see that? It's up to us to widen the focus and to allow it to be expressed. These are gifts beyond measure. And when we do that, we turn our attention back to the party. We don't have to host this party, by the way. We don't have to get the party started. It's been going on all this time. We just have to rejoin it. But don't take my word for it. Don't believe a word I say. Try it for yourself. Become present to your life. Practice being present and see what happens for you. In fact, let's take a moment right now and do something a little different than we typically do in a Sunday talk. And we're going to just take a moment and see if we can sink into that deep awareness and rejoin the Christmas party in mid-July. So I invite all of us to take our attention off of the tiny screen of the mind and widen our field of awareness as we settle into our body. First, let go of anything that you have in your hands or in your lap, anything on your heart, any sense of hurry thinking about what you have to do when you get home today or the work that's waiting for you. Any cares or any worries, just set them aside until later. And I invite you right now to experience this sanctuary as a worry-free zone. So close your eyes if that feels comfortable for you. And now feel your feet on the floor. Don't just think about them, feel them. What sensations do you notice? Now widen your attention to include your ankles and your calves and your knees, your thighs, your hips. Feel yourself securely planted in your seat. Now become aware of the trunk of your body. Feel your back, your chest. Your lower abdomen. Your shoulders. And your neck. Release any tension that you notice. Feel your arms, your hands. Now notice your face. Is there tension in your jaw? How about around your eyes? Feel your forehead and your scalp. And as your body relaxes, take a deep breath and release. Notice any emotions rising up. What are you feeling? Become aware of any thoughts and images that are arising. As they arise, allow them to come. And as they go, let them leave. Just become the witness and observe. There is nowhere for you to go right now. There's nothing else you need to be doing. Just feel what it's like to be here now and become aware that you are aware. Now feel your focus move to your heart. And you can put your hand on your heart to connect you with your heart space if you choose. And begin to activate a feeling of gratitude. What are you grateful for right now? Who are you grateful for right now? Feel the feeling begin to glow in your heart, and now let it gently move throughout your body. Feel it. Every cell being bathed in this healing vibration of appreciation. Feel your heart opening to a deeper dimension, the Christ dimension, and as your mind quiets down, there's room for your essence to emerge. There's room at the end for the birth of the awareness of interbeingness. The realization of oneness with the presence and power of the divine. Allow that awareness to come forth. And as we remain in this quiet, relaxed state, feeling gratitude, connected to the deeper source within, I invite you to open your eyes when you're ready and to practice lingering here in the holy now for the remainder of this talk. Consciously return to the present moment whenever your mind wanders. Come on back. So I'll take a breath. Is everybody back? We just did a beautiful thing together. The Sufi poet Rumi said, wherever you stand, be the soul of that place. Do you know that's what you were just doing? You are the soul of this place. Your presence matters here. Your heart matters. Opening your heart. That's the work, isn't it? And as we each connect to that deeper source within us, we begin to experience life beyond the illusion and separation. Now, in more scientific terms, Dr. Joe Dispenza describes it this way. As each one of us takes time to emanate an ambient magnetic field of coherent, harmonious energy, which is what we just did, by the way, as each one of us does that, then our individual fields begin to synchronize and create a collective social coherence of oneness. Isn't that cool? And when those coherent energies of the heart become synchronized like that, it begins to produce a very healing effect. It's a non-local effect that can create healing. And when we change our energy individually, we move beyond the limited self, we connect at a deeper dimension, and we become outlets of the divine. Make no mistake that that is a powerful practice that we just did. As simple as it may seem, staying can change the world. I'm convinced. But we have to bring our whole selves in, you know, like the hokey pokey. So we become the portal through which the oneness of spirit expresses on this earth. Wherever you stand, be the soul of that place. Wherever you find yourself, be the presence of God. Right here, right now. That's the essence of true prayer. It's the correction in a belief in separation. When we get to that coherent state, we are experiencing the true oneness of God. And gratitude's the key. It's the powerhouse that can get us there. It's the magic formula. Can you reach a point where you never get pulled out of that awareness? What do you think? I believe you can, but I'm not there yet. I don't say it can't happen. I made that my goal, but I didn't always reach that goal. And what I discovered, though, was that gratitude could get me there. Whenever I forgot, whenever I started focusing on that 24-inch TV screen again, whenever my grandsons had a brotherly altercation, that's it, whenever I felt the need to sort of step back from some boisterous energy, whenever June bugs were intruding on my work, I would take a gratitude break. And it would get me back there. Dr. Joe says that gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. Think about that. Think about what that means. When I'm grateful for the moment, I own it. I drink it dry of all of its gifts. And gratitude is the quickest way I've found to moving to a place of presence. As Michael Brown says, gratitude is the fragrance of the present moment. Mike Dooley writes, heaven is everywhere, always at once, hell is not knowing it. I have to agree, it's everywhere present, every when. Everywhere, every when, one presence. One of my favorite pieces of scripture comes from Genesis 28, where Jacob awakens and says, surely the Lord is in this place. We've written songs about that scripture. What we often miss is the end of the sentence. How does that end? Who can tell me? Let's say it together. And I knew it not. Think about that. Surely spirit is here, and I missed it. I missed it. God is here now, whether we know it or not. Heaven is everywhere, always at once. But we can be so focused on watching that TV, we miss the party. And you know, you might say, well, you know what, I'm not much of a partier anymore. I can relate to that. I saw a meme on Facebook that said, I used to sneak out of the house to go to parties, now I sneak out of parties to go to my house. So if that is the case, substitute nap on the beach or whatever it is for you. The point is, there is beauty in this moment that we are missing if we are not focusing on the present moment, if we're not present. George Bernard Shaw says it this way: God has given us a world that nothing but our own folly keeps from being a paradise. We are in our own way. Surely the presence is with us and within us right now, whether we know it or not. Surely the presence of God is within the person sitting next to you. If it's everywhere present, the divine must be within me and within you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Wow," and I want to hear a big wow. Wow! I'm the Lord. There was a comma after wow, but we'll just leave it as an exclamation mark. I think that we made our point. The question is, are we aware that we're immersed in spirit right now? Are you aware that every person around you is holy? Are we living our lives aware that nothing can be outside of the holiness of the infinite, no matter what it looks like? Nothing. We're drenched in it right now. And the moment we see that, the moment we sink into that awareness and really see the truth in all its glory, that everything, everyone, every moment is saturated with God, that's the moment when we celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Heaven is everywhere, always at once, and only our own mind, the emergent, self-organizing, embodied relational process, busily regulating our lives and interpreting the signals that it's receiving. That's the only thing that's keeping us from experiencing the paradise that it is. And as each one of us awakens to the reality of oneness, begins to live our life from this widened state of consciousness, we stop focusing on the tiny, limited postage stamp of a TV screen and shift to living beyond limits. You see? Owning the entirety of our life, filled with gratitude for what is. It's a great way to be. So wherever you stand, be the soul of that place. Can you make that your goal today? Wherever you stand, be the soul of that place. Be the presence of God in expression. Be the living Christ Spirit. Look around with eyes of gratitude, because then you see with the eyes of spirit. Then ask for guidance as to how you can serve the wholeness of reality. How can you do that? Ask your heart, and then be the change you're searching for, and receive the gift of knowing that your presence matters. And in the spirit of Christmas, we have some Christmas stars. They're going to be coming down the aisle at some point. Help yourself to a star. Mine's on my hand. There's some on faces and wherever else you want to put it. Go ahead. But let me be the very first this season to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And so it is.
Thank you, Jane, for our Christmas presents. You know, the best present of all is your presence. And we really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred,